In John chapter 8, Jesus said to the Jews that had believed on him, this is in verse 31, "If you remain in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will do what?" You'll remember this verse. It says, the truth will set you free. And you might also recall how the Jews responded when Jesus said that. They said, "We're the offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave of sin." That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Bondage, freedom, servitude. So, you've got, if you think back, I mean, people have always been selfish. The Bible says people are going to be selfish. And if you think of even some songs going back to like the 60s, some of y'all will remember the famous Frank Sinatra song, "I Did It My Way." Around 2000, Bon Jovi, you might remember his song, "It's My Life." In between there was the Beastie Boys, who had a big hit, "You've Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party." There's a very hedonistic attitude that a lot of people have, that the reason they are here on this earth is to do whatever they want to do. They want freedom. In fact, you'll notice in our Bill of Rights, we've got the freedom of religion. There's an organization now that's promoting freedom from religion. And, for example, how many of you noticed at the courthouse, right off the square, there's a dark spot on the brick wall there where it used to be there was a plaque of the Ten Commandments. And that's gone now. Because there's a lot of people in this country, they want to remove any public notion of that type of thing. So you can get t-shirts, and you're not going to be able to say this, but "My Rules, My Body, My Choice." This is a child's t-shirt. It says kid's t-shirt. You know what it says? "My body, my sexuality, my morals, my life, my choice." And of course, books like "Looking Out for Number One," "It's All About You." And there's even a website with products, and their name is Selfish. It's all about you. And so they've got a t-shirt. You can spend about $30 and get a t-shirt that says, "It's all about me." And this one, which is really stupid, it's a t-shirt that says, "It's impossible to be selfish and unhappy." Really? Man. If you can't find anything more important than yourself, your perspective and your universe is pathetically tiny. Let's also remember, as we're raising our children, we live in a society that, and as a nation, we are more insistent on our rights than our responsibilities, and more insistent on privilege than duty. And we need to be careful that we don't let that idea be in the mind of our children. Children need to have time to play, time to have fun, you know, things like that. But they also need to be learning to be human beings. And if a child gets the idea that they're supposed to get to do anything they want to do when they want to do it, say anything they want to say when they want to say it, eat anything they want, turn their nose up at anything they want, because they're just supposed to get what they want to do, that's, you're not raising much to the disagreement with that previous t-shirt. You're not going to be raising a happy child, and you're not going to be raising a good servant-hearted child that understands duty and understands things larger than self. We need to understand and appreciate the idea of servanthood. Now, those who, the songs and the t-shirts and the stuff we talked about before, reminds me of the passage in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, talking about false preachers who did what? Look at 2 Peter 2:19. 2 Peter chapter 2 and the 19th verse. Give you a minute to turn there. They promise what? Freedom. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. Now, I'm going to try to show this. I don't know if you'll be able to see it or not, but I worked a while on it, and it's not going to show up there, so I'm going to at least give it a try. All right, so this is just an overview of some trees, and so I want you to imagine, if you will, here's a group of maple leaves, and one of those maple leaves is very dissatisfied with his lot in life. He's just one of a whole bunch of leaves, and he doesn't feel real special, and he's just green. And he watches the birds, and he sees a red bird, and it can go wherever it wants to go. He sees a blue bird, and it can go wherever it wants to go. One day he saw a yellowish bird, and it could go wherever it wanted to go. And he felt really sorry for himself because he's just a green leaf. And he's just stuck right there. I mean, the wind might blow this way or that way, but he's so restrained and stuck to that tree. And he longed for freedom. I'm so tired of being green. I'm tired of being stuck on this tree. And then, along about September, he decided, what I need is change. What I need is freedom. And then along came September, and he noticed something exciting started happening. A little bit of yellow came in, and then a little bit more color, and then a little bit more color. And then one day, one exciting day, he broke free, and he's flying around in the sky. And you think, this is freedom. This is freedom. This is great. I'm not green anymore. I'm not stuck to that tree. This is freedom. And you can see where this is going. He lands and he realizes this is not freedom. This is death. And that's the way a lot of people live. He left his source of life, and he floated around, but generally down, and shrivels up and crumples on the forest floor. I want to talk about three things as an example of this. Money. Look at Luke chapter 12. Verse 13, and I'll tell you what the three topics we're going to be to illustrate this idea of bondage. You can become a slave of money, you can become a slave of promiscuity, sexual immorality, you can become a slave of a third thing, drugs and alcohol. There it went. Our speaker just had a happy recollection of the things he prepared, if you've ever heard that before. So, money. Luke chapter 12. Verse 13. One of the multitude said, "Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me." He said, "Man, who made me a judge or divider over you?" And he said, "Take heed, keep yourself from all covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses." By the way, one of the things that goes on a lot in our country today, and with some of the Occupy things and 1% things, is the, some people have all the money. It's not right that those people have a lot of money and we don't have as much money. What was this fellow saying about his brother? He got the inheritance.
Make him give some of it to me.
And Jesus said what? Take heed from covetousness. You know what? If somebody comes and takes your money, you know, call the police. Let them know that they took your money. And I hope you get it back. But it's not our job to go around and whine and complain because somebody else has their money. It's not ours. And that's what this fellow's doing. Jesus said, take heed, keep yourself from covetousness. And then he tells a story. He says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he reasoned within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I don't have where to bestow my fruit. This will I do. I will build down, I will tear, pull down my barns, build greater. I will bestow all my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said to him, you foolish one, this night your soul is required of you, and these things which you have prepared, whose shall they be? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. His view was all about himself. We didn't put ourselves here. You're not walking around on legs you designed. You're not breathing in with lungs that you built. You're not looking at things with an eye that you engineered. God created us. And we owe service and obedience to him. This man's attitude is, I'm here to get whatever I want and do whatever I want for me. And that was it. You may have heard me tell, and some of you have visited, Crazy King Ludwig in Bavaria back in the 1800s. Built some fantastic castles. Neuschwanstein is one of them. There's a couple of other ones. Just really fantastic stuff. The Disney World castle is basically loosed on one of his castles. And that one he got to spend less than a year in. Another one, he bought an island and had a replica of King Henry XIV's castle built there. He got to spend 9 days there. It's you can make yourself a slave of your own greed. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says what? He that loves silver loves gold won't be satisfied with gold. He that loves silver won't be satisfied with increase, or the reverse of that. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Turn and read that with me, please. 1 Timothy 6. It says in verse 7, we brought nothing into the world, we can carry nothing out. But having food and covering, we should be therewith content. They that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It doesn't say that money is a root of all kinds of evil. Money is a useful thing to trade, you know, time worked, labor put in for a transactable way to receive other things. But the love of money, for example, talked about we came in with nothing, we'll go out with nothing. Who said that? A wealthy man said that. Job, after he lost everything, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. I came in with nothing, I'll go out with nothing. But the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's not freedom. Jesus said what in Matthew chapter 6? He said, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. It can be a bondage. Sexual promiscuity. Back in Exodus chapter 20, verse 15 in the Ten Commandments, it said what? Thou shalt not commit adultery. And not just adultery, but in Deuteronomy 22:22, the penalty for that, by the way, was death. If a man committed adultery, both the adulterer and the adulteress were to be put to death. But also, outside of marriage, look at Exodus chapter 22, verse 16. If a man seduces a virgin or maiden, King James Version, if a man seduces a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall give the bride price for her and make her his wife. Now, the father, if the father utterly refuses to give her to him, then he was still to pay the money equal to the bride price, but he would be not denied the bride. Think how opposite that is of our culture that just views that sexual activity is something recreational, without obligation, without duty. This was for the marriage relationship. Hebrews chapter 13, 4 says what? Fornicators, those who have sex outside of marriage, and adulterer, or any kind of prohibited sex, and adulterers, those who violate by having sex with someone not their wife or with someone that's someone else's wife, fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. And it says, let marriage be had in honor among all. And look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 on this same topic. The Corinthians, some of them, had a rather Greek attitude, pagan attitude, worldly attitude of, well, this is just something you need to do. And so their idea in verse 13, meat is for the belly, so the belly is for meat. And then you transfer that to a sexual context. And so that's what my body's for, so that's what I'm going to do. Paul warns them in the middle of verse 13. This is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13. He says, but the body is not for fornication, but what? For the Lord. It says in verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are a temple of Christ? Shall I take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. Know ye not that he that is joined to a harlot is one body, for the twain, he says, become one flesh? He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that commits fornication commits sin against his own body. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have from God? And here's the part I want to emphasize. Paul says what? You are not your own. What are those t-shirts and stuff that we talk about? My body, my rules, my morals, my sexuality, I get to decide everything. The Bible says no. No, you don't. And there's two reasons why. One is that you didn't create yourself. I didn't create myself. People run around saying all this. They didn't create themselves. They're here as a gift of God. Life is a gift of God, enjoying the gifts of God. They're enjoying the sunrise. They're enjoying the food. They're enjoying the oxygen. They're enjoying the blessings, and they think they don't have any responsibility. We didn't make ourselves. But beyond that, for those of us who have committed ourselves to be disciples of Christ, there's another level of obligation. It says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. Lastly, our third point, drugs and alcohol. Stay here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, back up to verse 9. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. And it goes on, nor extortioners, etc., shall inherit the kingdom of God. Look with me at this description of Proverbs chapter 23 about a drunkard. And while we're turning there, I want to share with you a conversation one time years ago. Some of you probably heard me recite this before, but it made a strong impression on me. Dr. Laura Schlesinger, I used to listen to her on the radio, and she had a caller call in, and he said, I'm an alcoholic and I fell off the wagon. Should I, go through another 12-step program? And she said, no. And he said, why not? She said, it won't do any good. And he goes, well. And then she said, let me ask you a question. Why do you drink? And he said, I don't know. And she said, yes, you do. And she said, I'm just going to wait until you tell us why you drink. And there was dead air for a little bit. And then he said, to make the pain go away. He was wanting freedom. He was wanting freedom from the pain. And I don't know all the sources of the pain, but let me tell you something. The more you give yourself to drugs and alcohol, the more and more pain you're going to be in. And then what do you need? To dull that pain. The call went on to say, she said, that's right. And she said, did anybody tell you that for you to get sober and clean, you're going to have to feel bad for about a year and a half? He said, I don't want to feel bad. He said, that's why it's not going to do any good. Until you're willing to go through the pain, you're going to keep having this problem. He said, but they told me it's a disease. She said, oh, yeah, we say it's a disease. She said, you want to know why we say that? More people will come in if we say it's a disease, and also insurance will pay for it if it's said to be a disease. Now, are there diseases that result? Yes. Alcoholism, drug abuse, and alcohol abuse will affect your body. You will end up with a diseased body. But it's not a disease that makes you do this, okay? If somebody has leukemia, it's not because they say, well, every day at 5 o'clock I go down to the leukemia bar and drink some leukemia. If somebody has cancer, it's not, well, I just can't keep myself away from the cancer bar. There's a choice that goes on in alcoholics. It causes diseases, and the body becomes addicted to it. But listen to... And there's your bondage. Listen to it in Proverbs 23. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? This person seeking for freedom in the bottle. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who tarry long over wine. Those who go try mixed wine. Do not look at the wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, remember our leaf, in the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things, your heart utter perverse things. You will be like the one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of a mast. They struck me, you say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake? I must have another drink. That's somebody seeking for freedom, but they've not got freedom. They've got bondage. 1 Peter chapter 4 talks about when you turn from these things. Let's read that, 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 1, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves in the same way of thinking, for whoever suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. The time past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account before God. But the bondage that this type of thing brings, I'm going to show just a couple of these. A lot of you have probably seen online what, for instance, meth addiction will do to a person who's badly addicted. There was a sheriff's county, there was a county out in Oregon, where they started putting online some years ago mugshots. So they'd get a meth addict that's been arrested, and they'd take their mugshot. 2 months later, guess what? Arrested again. Mugshot. A few months later, arrested again. And so he started looking at some of the mugshots, and you're not going to be able to see this very well, but here's a pretty normal, healthy-looking guy at age 23. This is him at age 25. If you want to see these later, you can see them. This is a pretty young girl at 32. This is her at 38. This is 2.5 years later. That's not freedom. That's bondage. But you know, you can also find pictures of people who have stopped drinking. And you can see before and after pictures. People who've gone through rehab and got off meth addiction. And it's a powerful thing. Bondage is an ugly thing. Let's finish with these thoughts. Jesus said, if you remain in my truth, you will be free. That's not a freedom to do whatever you want, because the things that we want to do are often destructive to ourselves, to other people. The things that our flesh may want us to do, to reach for that bottle, to chemically drown some pain or something else, there are things that are disrespectful to our Creator, wrong to other people, and wrong to ourselves. So Jesus' freedom is not, do whatever you want to do. Jesus' freedom is, if you will remain in what I'm teaching, you will be free. You don't have to be a bondservant of sin. Romans chapter 6, we'll close with that text, is the text where it talks about the choice of two bondages. It's the text where it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. And it reminds them of their baptisms. You were baptized into Christ. Like he died, was buried, and rose again. You are to, verse 6, crucify the old man, bury him in the water of baptism. And like Jesus was raised in verse 4, you're to be raised and have newness of life. Then it says in verse 15, what shall we say? Are we that we're, shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? No. Don't you know that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants you are, whom you obey? You're going to serve something. The most hedonistic, selfish person who does whatever they want to do, they're serving themselves very badly because they've chosen a very foolish Lord. And they will become servants of their own sins. You've got to choose between what? Serving, at the end of verse 16, sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. Thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered. Being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. We should want to be servants. We should want to serve God. We should want to serve something bigger than ourselves. Verse 20. When you were servants of sin, you know what you were free from? You were free in regard to righteousness. There's a lot of people walking around that are pretty free of righteousness. What fruit then have you at that time in the things that are now shame? For the end of those sins is death. But now being made free from sin, you become servants of God, to God. Verse 23, the wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what's Jesus' own example? Philippians 2, he came down and made himself a servant. He said, I came to serve. And he died for your sins so that you can be free from the bondage of sin and appreciate the privilege of being a